Restless.
Hey, hey, hey. Welcome into this Monday edition of the Daily Perspective Podcast. Hi there, Mark Congleton here, your sometimes humble host for this hour of observation, insight, and a bit of absurdity, hoping you had a fantabulous 4th of July weekend. Did you take some time, enjoy some barbecue, hang with friends and family, maybe shoot off some fireworks? I hope you did. I got to do 2 out of 3, didn't get the fireworks in. Yeah, I know. I was the one telling you to go see fireworks, right? It just didn't happen. Such is life. Things got in the way. Plans were scuttled. Yeah, that's the way it is. Anyway, I was kind of hoping to catch... There was a church nearby that had some big thing going on. Had a stage set up in the field next to the church. And they had food trucks. They had all kinds of stuff going on. And it looked to me like... In the next little lot over from that, it looked to me like they were setting something up. And still, even though that was happening, I didn't get back around to it. I'll tell you more stories here in just a bit. But hopefully you're good. Everything is all right with you, okay? Yeah, you good? All right? Well, good. I'm glad you had a 4th of July weekend. You've made it through the barbecue coma. And you're doing okay. Barbecue coma. We had planned on ribs and such over at the in-laws, Jane's sister's place. We were going to go over there and my brother-in-law Mike was gonna, not the same Mike as I talk about, the other guy I hang out with named Mike. I have a couple of Mikes in my life, and including this one. But we were going to go over there and we were going to have ribs and, you know, and baked beans and stuff and stuff ourselves and tell family stories and, you know, just enjoy the day together. And it was going to be so hot. They started changing, thinking about, it's going to be so hot. We're going to be out with that grill. And so they ended up frying chicken. So we had fried chicken. We had the trifecta. We had fried chicken. We had French fries and baked beans. And we all avoided... We practiced our own social distancing afterwards. I'll just say that. How about that? And, cake and ice cream as well, you know, as well to celebrate the 4th. We had a good time, had a good visit with her 6 million dogs and family. God, she's got a lot of dogs. She's got like 8 or 9 dogs. It's just, and they all have to come by and say hello. They all have to, you just feel, if you're not around dogs much, you don't understand this. But if you're not paying attention, if you're talking with someone, the reason you know a dog is there is because you feel the dog touch you. And if it's summertime and you're wearing shorts, you feel this cold nose touch your leg. Oh, whoa, hey there, buddy. How are you? And and so there were like 8 or 9 of those for me. And of course, you sit down and on the sofa and you're chatting, and next thing you know, there's a dog in your face. And there's a dog in your lap. There's a dog, pet me. There's a dog. I mean, it's just, and they're all adorable in their own way. And they've got this little puppy that's just, they've got it in like in a, almost like in a playpen, because it's insane. And when Mike took it out of the playpen and put her on the floor, and she just took off running just in at this haphazard, I'm free, just going crazy. It was really funny. Anyway, we had a good time and we didn't get the ribs. And so now, because we didn't get barbecue, now I'm hungry for barbecue, because I had my sights set. I had my taste buds. Everything was ready. You know what I mean? I'm expecting barbecue. And I want barbecue. And my favorite barbecue joint is closed on Mondays. So I don't know what I'm going to do. I got to find some way to get some barbecue. And it'll make Jane mad, but I'm going to do it somehow. Now here comes the other Mike. My buddy Mike Eccles, we may hook up today because he asked me to order something for him because I have Amazon Prime. And he said, hey, can you order this for me? I'll get it back to you. Sure, not a problem. And so that's coming today. If it comes before lunch, we may hook up for lunch someplace and have some barbecue. And I hope I can make that happen. But anyway, so much for me. That's about the size of it. Just one more thing on the personal side before we dive into other things. the Miata project. I posted some pictures over the weekend on Facebook. Hopefully, if you follow the podcast on Facebook, you saw the photos of the teardown process. And I'm not going to spend much time on this, so please don't tune out. It's just I'm going to update you very quickly everything that has to come off the engine is off. The radiator and the fans are out. The everything is out. The cylinder head is sitting on the work table, and it has been. Let's see. The valves have been pulled and polished. The cylinder head has been polished. The springs and everything are waiting for cleaning. The lifters are actually today, probably today, if not today, tomorrow. I'll clean the lifters, and that's not a simple process because you have to manage them one at a time because they have to soak in this cleaning solution for a set amount of time, and you can't put all of them in at once. Otherwise, the first one you pull out will be fine. The rest of them will sit in the solution for too long, which could damage them. So you have to manage it one at a time, and there's 16 of them. So that could be an interesting thing. And also on the agenda for later today is replacing the power steering booth that's torn, re-greasing the joint and all that stuff. So I'm going to get dirty today. I'll be in the floor underneath the car, and that's the plan for today. I managed to break apart. I don't know if I told you this or not, but when I was I was trying to pull the timing gear off the crankshaft, it's supposed to slide off when you remove the little key that holds it in place. It's supposed to slide off. It didn't. And so I gave it a little nudge with a little pry device behind it, and part of it cracked. And so I had to order another one. By the way, if you ever have to buy one, they're $52 from Treasure Coast Miata down in Florida. And this little project that was supposed to be real simple is ending up becoming more complicated by the day. And instead of me just, you know, I was balking at $279 for the seal package for redoing the things that I wanted to redo. Oh, my Visa is getting a lot of use. Let's just put it that way. Anyway, so today more work on the Miata. The Miata project continues. But here's the thing. If I continue the pace, then I hope I can be driving it this coming weekend. And that would be great. Because really, I don't know. There's one part. There's the cam cover that's got to be, it's going for bead blasting, and it's going to get recoated. So that may end up screwing my schedule up. But that really literally is the last part to go back on the car. So if I get that out the door today, then I should have it back in time to have it put back on to be able to drive this weekend, maybe later this week. Depends on how things happen. I mean, I've got little bits and pieces, and because of the nature of things, mushrooming as you work on them. And if you work on stuff yourself, you know how this happens. Every guy knows how this happens. You start a project. Let's say you're fixing a leak under the sink. Oh, that's simple. I'll just get in there and tighten that joint up, or maybe just replace, you know, something if it's bad. And the next thing you know, you're off to the hardware store because the part's got to be replaced. You get home and you replace that part and something else is wrong. And it snowballs. Mushrooming was the wrong word. Snowballs. And this is how this project is going. I expected a little snowballing to happen, but it's taken on a life of its own. And by the way, the bead blasting, that is a family connection. It's somebody in the family has access to a bead blaster at work and said, hey, if you got anything, need anything on that car bead blasted, I'd be glad to do that for you. Ding. Off goes the cam cover because it's right now Daytona, Ferrari Daytona yellow. I'm going to redo it and it's going to be crinkled black with silver letters. And it's going to be gorgeous, but that's for later. Hopefully by this weekend, we'll get things back together. Okay. All right. Wow. So you have to be basically under a rock somewhere not to know that Disney has licensed and released the musical Hamilton, and it's on their Disney Plus channel, on their Disney Plus streaming service right now. And what with the 4th of July weekend and all the patriotism, they decided, this would be the perfect time to release Hamilton to the public, the original Broadway production of Hamilton. And my liberal friends all had fainting spells. They just did. Oh, Hamilton. Oh, it's like a religious experience. This is the impression I get. It's like, it is that intense for your progressive / liberal friends. That's the opinion. It's an emotional thing for your liberal friends. Now, your conservative friends all look at it and raise an eyebrow. And the reason for that is that Alexander Hamilton, though he was amongst the founding fathers, Alexander Hamilton butted heads with Thomas Jefferson. Alexander Hamilton was in favor and strongly pushed for the United States of America to be another empire like the European empires, and to give powers to the president akin to that of a king. And Alexander Hamilton was working against the grain of federalism, which was what the rest of the founding fathers agreed to do. And that was to give the states power and to make the federal government, the central government of this collection of states, as small as possible, and to just handle a minor number of things, a small number of things, because everything else should be left to the individual states. And that's the way things should be. You should keep that sort of a thing close to home. You know that old saying about keep your friends close, keep your enemies closer? That's kind of the thinking. Because politicians, once they get some power, end up being your enemies after a while, because they look out for their power and not for you. So you keep those people as close as possible, which is why it's a problem to have all of our nation's power centralized in Washington, D.C. Because, as I've told you before, if you live in, let's say you live in Idaho, it's a bit of a trip to Washington, D.C. If you live in Alabama, it's a bit of a trip to Washington, D.C. to go stand in your representative's office and say, what the heck are you doing? But if you keep the most of that power back home, then you can walk into your district representative's office and tell them, I'm really unhappy with what this cat's doing in D.C., the guy we sent to D.C. He needs to be recalled. And if enough people do that, that's what happens. But we've moved beyond that, and we are actually today, all of the problems, all of the power, all of the corruption, everything that we're trying to deal with, that the swamp that we're trying to deal with, that all is Hamilton's America. That is the result of Hamilton's kind of government, because we elected something else, we voted for something else, we decided on something else, but what we got in the end was Hamilton's America. And now Disney releases Hamilton for the 4th of July holiday. Your liberal friends all had fainting spells. Oh! Because their favorite Broadway play was now available for everybody to see how awesome it was. And the cancelers have come out of the woodwork because Hamilton owns slaves. He bought slaves. Oh, Mark, he bought them for somebody else. Like, that makes it better. Hamilton is, as they say, problematic. And you know what? This is just delicious, actually. It's just wonderful because Alexander Hamilton, even though he was a founding father, Alexander Hamilton is an example of what we should not be doing in America. And he is the dream progressive. It's like the progressive dream. Let's see, how did I put that in the show notes? I was compiling show notes today here. Hamilton, the Broadway musical about the founder who wanted America to be another global empire and its leader to be a king. In other words, the progressive dream come true. So that's what this thing is. But now, maybe not so much, because Hamilton is problematic. The cancel culture is coming back to bite itself in the backside, because these same people, seriously, these same people stood up at home and applauded in the privacy of their homes and yelled and shouted and screamed, "All right!" when the cast of Hamilton stopped everything and pointed out Vice President Pence in the audience and read him the Riot Act. Do you remember that happening? Yes. This is that bunch. And now, just a matter of 3 years later, less than 3 years later, well, Hamilton's problematic. You just can't write this stuff, people. It's real life. Welcome back. It's the Daily Perspective Podcast for Monday, the 6th day of July, 2020. And it's the, the post-barbecue and fireworks edition of the podcast. And oddly enough, I got neither one. I didn't get either one of those things over the holiday weekend. And what I did was I stayed greasy all weekend long, pretty much, is what I did. Oh my gosh. Hopefully you're not having a manic Monday. Everything is good for you, I hope. Yeah, I hope so. Oh, man. It's just another manic Monday. Yeah, we'll see how it turns out. I don't know if you caught the Friday night speech at Mount Rushmore. President Trump did an awesome job. Fireworks returned to Mount Rushmore. It was a great scene. And something odd that I think it was Joe Pags pointed it out, and that is that Melania Trump, he did a search. That's what it was. He did a search for photos of Melania Trump at Mount Rushmore, found none, absolutely zero. And throughout the thing, she's radiant, she's smiling, she's beautiful, she looks like a million bucks. She is elegant, she is classy, she's everything that you would hope a first lady would be, and no photos. Now, if it had been Michelle Obama, you would have seen her scowling about the American flag, fussing about, you know, the military being there. You would have seen all this. But no. You can't see anything positive about Melania Trump. Well, President Trump's rousing Friday speech at Rushmore made the front page of the Washington Post yesterday. It was distorted almost beyond recognition. The page one headline was, quote, "Trump's racial animus rattles GOP." Online, it was, "Trump's push to amplify racism unnerves Republicans who have long enabled him." Oh, really? Well, there was no news analysis label on this blatant distortion of the president's speech. If you read the actual speech, it's not a racist speech. Trump quoted Martin Luther King. He credited Lincoln for extinguishing the evil of slavery. If you saw it, you really won't believe what Robert Costa and Philip Rucker shamelessly wrote. These reporters, and I'm air quoting, reporters, began by saying, "President Trump's unyielding push to preserve Confederate symbols and the legacy of white domination, crystallized by his harsh denunciation of the racial justice movement Friday night at Mount Rushmore, has unnerved Republicans who have long enabled him but now fear losing power and forever associating their party with his racial animus. Although amplifying racism and stoking culture wars have been mainstays of Trump's public identity for decades, they have been particularly pronounced this summer as the president has reacted to the national reckoning over systemic discrimination by seeking to weaponize the anger and resentment of some white Americans for his own political gain." Well, this is incredibly dishonest. They're not even trying to accurately quote from the speech. In his speech, Trump was talking about protesters tearing down statues of Jefferson and Ulysses Grant and circling around Lincoln statues. In his speech, the president said, "Our people have a great memory. They will never forget the destruction of statues and monuments to George Washington, Abraham Lincoln, Ulysses S. Grant, abolitionists, and many others." Now, these guys from the Post repeated the only Confederates smear in the eighth paragraph of their article. saying Trump's repeated championing of monuments, memorials, and military bases honoring Confederate leaders has run up against the tide of modernity and a weary electorate that polls show overwhelmingly support the Black Lives Matter movement, a slogan that Trump said would be a symbol of hate if painted on Fifth Avenue in New York. The Post barely quoted from the speech. They just plucked out little snippets to cartoon the speech. Here's a little more from the article. Trump put his strategy to resuscitate his troubled re-election campaign by galvanizing white supporters on display Friday night under the chiseled granite gaze of four past presidents memorialized in the Black Hills of South Dakota. He celebrated Independence Day with a dystopian speech in which he excoriated racial justice protesters as evil representatives of a new far-left fascism, whose ultimate goal is the end of America. Our nation is witnessing a merciless campaign to wipe out our history, defame our heroes, erase our values, and indoctrinate our children, Trump said to boos from a packed crowd of supporters. Angry mobs are trying to tear down statues of our founders, deface our most sacred memorials, and unleash a wave of violent crime in our cities. Which, by the way, is true. But the Post put this in the caption under a black and white photo of President and Mrs. Trump under Mount Rushmore. This is what they said in their caption. In a speech, he called racial justice demonstrators evil. That's a lie. Here's what he actually said. This is from the speech. Here tonight, before the eyes of our forefathers, Americans declare again, as we did 244 years ago, that we will not be tyrannized, we will not be demeaned, and we will not be intimidated by bad, evil people. It will not happen. We will proclaim the ideals of the Declaration of Independence. And we will never surrender the spirit and the courage and the cause of July 4th, 1776. That's what he said. Deep in their piece, a few named Trump advisors defend the president and attack the media. But the writers, Costa and Ruckert, also trotted out Trump-hating Republicans like John Kasich, who smeared Republicans as Nazi collaborators. Quote, I'm glad to see some Republicans moving the other way, but it reminds me of Vichy France. That sounds like a guy who really wants to please CNN, not Republicans. So we shouldn't be surprised that the Washington Post has taken something completely and totally out of context, has not actually quoted the speech itself, but has cherry-picked parts of the speech which they can use to twist into something entirely different. This is the nature of progressive press today. This is one example of why I tell you all the time, get your news elsewhere, because you're not getting the real picture from the progressive press. They're going to distort reality to suit their agenda. You see, these people in the progressive press see life through a different lens than you or I. They're not honest about life. They want life to conform to their preconceptions of life, their theories of what life should be. And you know from experience, I hope, that progressives have theories about everything. That this is how things should work, not the way they're currently working, because this is what fits our view of the way the world should be. It's like those meetings that you've been in when you've worked for businesses where, and I know this and you know this, if you've worked for any business of any size and you've had a regular staff meeting or you have regular meetings about projects, when people are blue sky thinking around a table, hey, this is the way things should be, or this is the way we should do this, or this is the way we should do that. And very often, there are those in the room who will propose something which is not possible to do, or is entirely possible, but won't work because they don't have any real experience in how this actually functions. I know this from working in radio and in other fields where people are saying, well, why don't you do this? Where they sit down with you and ask and propose that you do certain things with your show that you know won't work because, one, you tried them before and they flopped, or two, nobody else does it. And that's one of their things. You know, nobody else is doing this. Maybe you should do this. And the reason nobody else is doing it is not because it's a brilliant new idea. It's because many people have tried it before and it's flopped. So you don't do things that don't work. But that's progressivism. They're disconnected from real life. They're disconnected from reality. And they see an alternate reality that they would love to be true. And so they push and push and push and push for it. And with every success, they see more failure. Every time they succeed in getting something done, what they want to get done results in more hardship. And rather than accepting the reality of the situation, they blame other people. Well, so-and-so torpedoed our efforts, or they wouldn't cooperate, or they voted against us, or no, that's not the way this works. And that's the lens that these Washington Post writers see the world through. The lens of failure, also known as progressivism. Welcome back. It's the Daily Perspective, the Monday edition of the podcast. Good to have you in today. Thanks for tuning in. This is what I get for multitasking. My mouth is on a different track. Thanks for being part of the podcast. I appreciate it. If you're a subscriber, God bless you. Thank you so much. And thanks for sharing. Spread the podcast around. I'm scanning social media and ran across this post. And I tend not to share this kind of stuff because I don't know how accurate the sourcing is on it. But everything in this is true, whether it was said by the person attributed to or not. But it's all true. So I want to pass this along to you before I get to the next story, because this is, if you're new to the podcast, this happens to me on a regular basis. During the breaks, you don't hear the breaks. If you listen to the Facebook Live version, you hear the breaks. But on the podcast, you just hear music out and music back in again, and I'm yammering again. But there are actual breaks that are a couple of minutes long. It gives me a chance to get a sip of coffee and to scan social media and news sites to see if anything new is happening. And I ran across this that a friend posted on social media on Facebook, and it's attributed to Sheriff Clark. You know, the guy you see him on the Talking Head news shows on a fairly regular basis. You see these him pop up from time to time, and he, wait a minute. And he, see, I just made a mistake here. I actually clicked on something else because there was somebody said, they like the video. What do they like? And it turns out to be what you're listening to right now. So to the guys over at the Proof Blog, hi, thanks for listening. Now I need to get back to where I was so I can talk about, man, I just ruined everything by having no attention span. Okay, here we go. This is attributed to Sheriff Clark. So let me read this to you. It's not the police who need to be retrained. It's the public. We've grown into a mouthy, mobile phone-wielding, vulgar, uncivil society with no personal responsibility and the attitude of, it's the other person's fault. You owe me. A society where children grow up with no boundaries or knowledge or concern for civil society and personal responsibility. When an officer says, put your hands up, then put your hands up. Don't reach for something in your pocket, your lap, or your seat. There's plenty of reason for a police officer to feel threatened. There have been multiple assaults and ambushes on police officers lately. Comply with requests from the officer. Have your day in court. Don't mouth off or fight or refuse to comply. That escalates the situation. Police officers are our sons and daughters, fathers and mothers, brothers and sisters. They're black, white, brown, all colors, all ethnicities, all faiths, male and female. They're us. They see the worst side of humanity. The raped children, the bloody mangled bodies of traffic victims, the bruised and battered victims of domestic violence, homicide victims, body parts, day after day. They work holidays while we have festive meals with our families. They miss school events with their kids, birthdays, anniversaries, all those special occasions that we take for granted. They work in all types of weather, under dangerous conditions, for relatively low pay. They have extensive training, but they are human. When there are numerous attacks on them, they become hypervigilant for a reason. They have become targets. When a police officer encounters any person, whether at a traffic stop, a street confrontation, an arrest, whatever, that situation has the potential to become life-threatening. You, Mr. and Mrs. or Miss Civilian, also have the responsibility of keeping the situation from getting out of control. Many law enforcement officers are veterans. They've been in service to this nation most of their lives, whether on the battlefield or protecting us here at home. They are the only thing that stands between us and anarchy in the streets. If you want to protect your child, teach him respect. And even if he didn't say all of that, and the reason I say that is because many times there will be a short quote that is true, and then other people will embellish it as it makes its way through social media. It's all true. It's all real. It's all relevant. It's all exactly what we should be thinking. And we should be teaching our children respect for police officers. Yes, sir. No, sir. Yes, ma'am. No, ma'am. Don't escalate the situation. Cooperate. If you feel like you're being treated unfairly, bite your lip. Don't mouth off. If you're getting a ticket, the officer's name will be on the ticket. You have a court date. You can address it at your court date. If it's another situation, then take note. If you feel like you were handled improperly, take note. As soon as you get an opportunity, write everything down so your memory's clear. And when it comes time, or if there's not a court date and you just need to tell somebody, then make a phone call. Arrange a meeting. Have a chat with somebody. Let them know what happened to you. And deal with the situation like an adult, not like an angry child who's not getting their way, which is very much what our society has become. As it says earlier on, we have grown into a mouthy, mobile phone-wielding, vulgar, uncivil society with no personal responsibility and the attitude of, it's the other person's fault, or you owe me. No truer words have been said. That is our society today. I've talked about this on a handful of occasions, how that today there is no work ethic. Today there is no respect for others. Today, and I think entirely because of social media, people will get into your face and say things to you that are just horrible, that decent people in another time would never have dreamed of saying to one another. And I blame that on social media because people are so accustomed to lashing out at total strangers online. That they will now do it in person. And when confronted by a police officer, they will do it and double down. And in some cases, even when a firearm is drawn on them, there are case after case after case that a police officer in a situation, in a testy, tight, volatile situation, will have warned someone multiple times and finally has come to the point where they have had to draw their sidearm. And you know, you don't do that. You don't draw your sidearm unless you intend to pull the trigger. And the person who is causing this problem is screaming at the police officer, "You going to shoot me? You going to shoot me? Go ahead." And they charge the police officer. A police officer holding a gun. They charge at, swing at, do something. And the officer pulls the trigger. And of course, everybody goes insane. We're in a situation now where someone will actually charge at a police officer pointing his sidearm at them. And those who are in the Second Amendment crowd, who believe in personal defense and own firearms, I'm among them. There are those who will tell you stories of pulling their sidearm, their concealed carry weapon in defense, and somebody waving their arms, screaming almost unintelligibly at them, and continuing to approach, even though they've been warned again and again, step back, step back, step back, and they keep coming. Because they've been basically indoctrinated, they've been trained by television and movies to believe that they're not going to get shot. And when they get shot, everybody goes insane. That's the situation we're living in today. And so this little piece that's making its rounds on social media needs to be absorbed properly, paid attention to, and heeded. Because we do live in a very volatile time. We have a couple of generations of kids who have been taught garbage in schools. They haven't been taught U.S. history. They've been taught progressive opinion on U.S. history. And they've been taught that certain members of our society, certain segments of our society, are constantly being oppressed. But they're really not being oppressed. They're pushing the boundaries. And whenever they cross certain lines, they reap the results of their actions. They behave in certain ways, and they reap the results of their behavior. And when they reap the results of their behavior, everybody goes insane. It's a sad situation. I just shared that on my personal Facebook page. I'll put it on the Daily Perspective page as well. Let's see. Where was I going to go before I got derailed? Oh, yeah. Sleepy Joe. Creepy Uncle Joe. Joe Biden. By the way, he is supported by some of these people who would confront police officers and scream and yell. He tweeted yesterday, last night. Get this. I want you to get this. He tweeted that his administration, if he's elected, his administration, quote, won't just rebuild this nation. Because, you see, they're telling everybody that this nation's being destroyed by Donald Trump. You know they're doing that. It's a lie. What's being destroyed is the legacy of Barack Obama, who ignored the Constitution and did whatever he wanted to do. During his first term, he basically restrained himself. But then when he knew, after being elected that second time, he knew that he had nothing at all to lose. He could do anything he wanted to do because he wasn't going to have to run again and face the consequences of his actions. He did insane things to this country. And Joe Biden last night tweeted that if he gets elected, his administration won't just rebuild this nation, we'll transform it.
Fundamentally transforming the United States of America.
Raising speculation online about what exactly in the country will be transformed. The tweet comes after a politically charged 4th of July weekend as the country works to manage a new surge of COVID-19 cases, tries to emerge from weeks of tense protests that have resulted in a widening divide between Democrats and Republicans. And Biden's tweet says, we're going to beat Donald Trump, and when we do, we won't just rebuild this nation. We will transform it.
Fundamentally transforming the United States of America.
Who do you think Creepy Uncle Joe is trying to appeal to? Who? Yeah. All of those people who voted twice for Barack Obama. That's who he's trying to appeal to. Can I just say this one more time? Regardless of what the polls say, I don't think Joe Biden's got a chance. I think the polls are lying, the pundits are lying, and I think Joe is going down in defeat. It's the Daily Perspective Podcast. Welcome back. You know, Joe Biden's been in government for over 40 years. actually in the upper echelons of government. He's been up there for over 40 years. And what's he accomplished? Putting more black people in jail. And he's also partially responsible for no gun zones, gun-free zones. He's responsible for that. And I think the stat is like 98% of all mass shootings have happened in gun-free zones. So Joe Biden is in a way responsible for all the mass shootings we've had. Those deaths that people are trying to blame on guns. So Sleepy Joe is actually part of the big problem. In some ways, he is the big problem. And this is who, this guy who clearly is having cognitive issues, this guy who is clearly suffering, and it's sad to see, he's suffering mental problems due to age or whatever, and this is who they're putting out there. It's really sad. That's really all I have to say about that. Somebody else who said is Chicago Mayor Lori Lightfoot. You know, if you've been paying attention, you know that Chicago is basically, some places in Chicago are just a bloodbath all the time. There's shootings, there's killings every weekend. It's almost it's gotten to the point where it's almost like watching a sporting team. You wonder how they did over the weekend. You go look, oh, 13 people died. And that's how it is with Chicago right now. And Chicago Mayor Lori Lightfoot is a prime example of progressivism. She is in constant denial, and she's constantly shifting the blame for the issues with her city away from the policies which created the issues. It's like a master class. Oh, can I use that word? I'm sorry. Can I use the word master in that context? It's like a master class in how not to do things. And yet she'll be reelected. She'll continue to be there until she's either exposed in some sort of a major scandal that people just can't ignore, or she decides to step down, or she's trampled by a passing elephant or something. I don't know, but this is the situation in Chicago. She's tweeted out a hopeful message. This is following the shooting death of a 7-year-old girl in the city's Austin neighborhood. Here's what she said. Tonight, a 7-year-old girl in Austin joined a list of teenagers and children whose hopes and dreams were ended by the barrel of a gun. We cannot grow numb to this. We are making progress on slowing shootings, but we have to do better. Every single one of us. You notice she says, ended by the barrel of a gun. Not ended by a thug with no regard for human life. She blames the gun, not the shooter. She blames the gun. As though the gun woke up that morning and decided, I think I'm going to go kill me a 7-year-old. She blames the gun. The Chicago Sun-Times says 13 people have been killed, 54 others wounded in shootings across Chicago so far over the 4th of July weekend. 54 wounded, 13 killed, 67 people shot over the 4th of July weekend. 9 of the weekend's victims were minors. 2 of those children who died from their injuries. If 67 people were hit by bullets, how many shots were actually fired? The streets must sound like Mogadishu or Baghdad. From Fox News, the girl identified by her family as Natalie Wallace was outside her grandmother's home at a 4th of July party in the city's Austin neighborhood around 7 p.m. when a vehicle pulled up and 3 men got out and started shooting indiscriminately. The girl was shot in her head, pronounced dead after she was rushed to a hospital. A 32-year-old man got shot during the same attack. He was in fair condition. Remember when 8 people getting shot in the same incident made national headlines? Two separate incidents of mass casualties in just a weekend. One weekend. It's just another night in Chicago. Just another night in Chicago. A 14-year-old boy was among four people killed in a shooting that wounded four others Saturday night in Englewood on the south side. They were at a large gathering in the street around 11:35 p.m. in the 6100 block of South Carpenter Street when four males walked up and started shooting. This is what the police are saying. The 14-year-old boy was hit in the back, pronounced dead at Comer Children's Hospital. Three other male victims were pronounced dead, two at the scene and one at the University of Chicago Medical Center. Their ages are not immediately known. This wasn't a drive-by shooting. It was a walk-up crime. No need to hurry up and get away. No cops to worry about. You want to grab Lori Lightfoot by the shoulders and shake her until it all starts to register. Your city is bleeding to death, and you've got to do something. Would it hurt some of your supporters' feelings if you brought in the National Guard? Yeah, probably. And residents certainly won't like it very much. Activists will scream bloody murder. Newspapers and media commentary will string you up, and you'll be hung in effigy. But your city will be safer. And maybe, just maybe, you'll save the lives of a few children. But she blames the guns. She suggested that lax gun laws and coronavirus-related lockdowns were largely to blame for the spike in shootings, which has left at least four kids dead. Dozens of Chicago residents wounded. Speaking to a press conference, Lightfoot said the violence problem is complicated. Quote, that's a complicated question. We have way too many guns on the streets. She also suggested that the coronavirus shutdowns that kept people inside for months played a role in creating the perfect storm, while also pointing out the death of George Floyd as an event that sparked anger in the community. That perfect storm is responsible for nearly a record-breaking streak of violence in the city. As of late June, 329 people have been killed in Chicago. That's an increase of about 34% over last year. Shootings in that period rose by about 42%. Overall, crime is down by about 9%, but the shootings, they're on the rise. There have been only 5 days in July. Already this month, 84 people have been shot and wounded in Chicago. 18 shot and killed. Just the last 3 weeks, several children have been murdered by gun violence, one as young as a year old. A year. Although the Chicago city government pledged to put about 1,200 additional officers on the street through the 4th of July weekend, at least 16 people were killed then, including a 7-year-old girl we just talked about. Two incidents of gun violence had more than 8 victims. That makes them mass shootings. Lightfoot responded to the weekend's violence on social media. Quote, tonight a 7-year-old girl in Austin joined. I already read that for you. Chicago residents are not strictly prohibited from owning guns, but Illinois requires each gun owner to submit to an intensive background check and obtain a firearm owner's identification card before purchasing their first gun. The state prohibits open carry and concealed carry in many circumstances, and there are tight restrictions on gun sales in the city. Neighboring states like Indiana and Wisconsin have looser gun laws, and authorities are typically quick to blame a lack of federal oversight in weapons trafficking for the continued gun violence problem inside the city of Chicago. Wow. Part of the issue may also lie with Cook County State's Attorney Kim Fox, whose bail reform program has seen violent offenders, return to the streets quickly, often as little as 24 hours after being arrested, according to the Chicago Tribune. I'll tell you what's contributing the most to this, at least right now, for the 4th of July weekend and through the month of June, is defund the police. Criminals are being emboldened by proposals to restrict the power of the police. They already don't respect the law. Here in the Birmingham area, we had a shooting at a local mall. It used to be the fancy mall, you know, the one that that had the Macy's in it, and it was the one that had the expensive stores. It's over the day, over the time, it's gone downhill, and the rest of the malls in the area have been slowly dying, and this one's holding on. A year or so ago, a couple of years ago, there was a shooting on Valentine's Day, and over this weekend there was an 8-year-old kid shot in the head. There's people in the mall, in the food court area, got into an argument. There was a group of four black guys and another black guy. The one black guy got into the argument with the other four black guys. Next thing you know, guns are pulled. It's a no-gun zone. A gun-free zone. They don't care. The law doesn't matter to these people. They're shooting at each other. None of them got hit. They're shooting wild, injuring other people, killing children. It's because of a complete and total respect for law and the authority of the law. And mayors like Lori Lightfoot in Chicago are making it worse. Returning criminals to the street fast. There's no deterrence where there is no punishment. And that's the progressive model they're following. And that's it for this Monday. God bless you. Have a good one. In spite of it all, we'll see you back here tomorrow for the next edition of the Daily Perspective Podcast. Bye-bye.
Oh, we're done.